Good evening, friends. Sam's right, I am in Pennsylvania this weekend for a music festival. I was in Williamsport, and I got to spend a good weekend with old friends, and I met some new friends. And then being here this evening, it's kind of the same thing. There's friends that I didn't expect to see tonight. And so I'm just really happy to be here. Thank you so much for allowing me to open God's Word. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This is on page 1105, if you're reading one of the pew Bibles. And as I was making my way from Williamsport this morning, I worshipped in State College and then drove the rest of the way back to Pittsburgh. And I saw that at the Grace Presbyterian Church in State College, the preacher there is preaching the exact same passage tonight, Luke 10, 38 through 42. And I found this fascinating because in my introduction, there's a quote that I'll just share now from J.C. Ryle, that when he introduces this passage, he says that so long as the world stands, the story of Mary and Martha will furnish the church with lessons of wisdom which ought never to be forgotten. And so, at least this evening in two locations where the saints are meeting, the world is still standing, and this account and God's Word of Mary and Martha, Lord willing, are giving us great lessons of wisdom. So our reading again, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This is the holy and inspired Word of God. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Now may God be pleased to speak to each one of us by his word, by his spirit, and to the glory of Jesus Christ. I think this is a familiar passage to many of us, and we've probably heard it many times, and we maybe have some preconceived notions about how it ought to be presented. But I want to begin by sharing that the lessons we gain from Martha and Mary include the fact that different personality types are not the issue here. When you read or hear this passage, you probably see yourself in one or the other of these two sisters. And whichever one you see yourself in, you likely get agitated by the other. You might say, "I hate it when I'm the one rushing around, taking care of all the necessities, when someone else has the audacity to just sit there and leave me to handle the work." Or maybe you say, "I really wish that person would just chill out. That they would stop ruining the vibes here by always being so busy." Or maybe you think of other people in your life who fit the type of Mary or Martha. And as a result, you either think highly or lowly of that person. Or maybe you identify yourself as one of these types, but admire the other and wish that you could be more like them. Saying, "I wish I could relax a little more and be more like that person who's always so cool and so calm." Or maybe you think, "If I could just make myself a little more orderly and focused, then maybe I'll start getting things done." And kids, maybe it's the case that you find yourself wishing that your parents would be a little more like Mary and less than Martha and the things they ask you to do. But when we think that way, we miss a few things. First off, is that very few people fit neatly and strictly into a Mary or Martha binary. We can all display both tendencies to one degree or another, especially depending on how much we care about the particular setting or circumstance that we're in. But also, we need both types of people in our lives and in the church, because these two do present a balance. Those of us who are busy, busy, busy need someone to tell us to slow down, to stop, and to smell the roses. But in turn, those same people need to be reminded that there won't be any roses to smell if someone isn't taking care of the garden. If you've ever listened to Dave Ramsey or done a Financial Peace University course, you know that he talks about nerds and free spirits. And he says that when you have both, that's a good thing. It's a blessing. And so it is within the Church of Jesus Christ. And so going back to J.C. Ryle, who I shared a quote from earlier, he spends almost his entire chapter on this passage building up this statement. When he says, "Let us observe for one thing how different the characters and personalities of true Christians may be, and that we must not expect all believers in Christ to be exactly like one another. We must not set down others as having no grace because their experience does not entirely tally with our own." And so, friends, one is not better than the other. And unfortunately, Martha seems to come across as the villain in this account, because Jesus will offer her a gentle yet firm rebuke of her actions and her attitudes in the home. But this does not reveal that Jesus thinks more highly of Martha than of Mary. If you were to look in John's Gospel, in the 11th chapter, when Jesus hears that Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus is sick and is to die, John records this: "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister." So these two sisters, as different as they may be in personality and in character, are both loved by Jesus. They are both recipients of His grace. They are both part of His family. And so it does us no good to try and elevate one over the other. However, in this account, there are certain actions and attitudes that are maybe more commendable than others. So not the person themselves, but how do they respond to Jesus? And so let's look for a moment at what Mary gets right in this passage. In verse 39, we read that Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. Mary has the right position and posture and purpose. Jesus enters her home and she sits down. Now, sometimes we need to tell our children to sit still, but generally, still is part of sitting. If we are sitting down, it is a form of stopping whatever else we were doing. And Mary sits at Jesus' feet with closeness, with humility, adoration, and attention as she looks up at our Lord. And she sits there with the purpose of hearing Him teach. Just one chapter earlier in Luke 9 is the account of the Transfiguration, when Jesus is on the mountain and the voice of the Father comes from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear Him." The love of the Father for Jesus expresses itself in a command to us that we, in our love for Him, would hear Him, that we would listen to Jesus. And this is what Mary seems happy to do. To pause her activity, to draw near to Jesus and to listen attentively to him. And so she is doing what Jesus will call choosing the good part. The one necessary thing which would not be taken away from her. So this is what Mary gets right in this passage. But what does Martha get wrong? Verse 40 says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving." She was distracted, literally meaning drawn away as if by a rope or a hand that is tugging you somewhere else. Jesus was in her home. She welcomes him into her home and immediately goes off to do something else. She ignores him to focus on this much serving. And the serving seems to be excessive. Because Luke, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, puts the word much in there. Not distracted with serving, but distracted with much serving. By all the preparations that had to be made, it says in the NIV. And certainly we can grant that this may have come from a very good heart. It's not every day that the Lord of the universe enters your home. You wouldn't want to serve him the same pot roast you have every Lord's Day afternoon. You wouldn't want to lay out the normal dinnerware and paper napkins. And so there's something commendable about that. There's nothing inherently wrong with going above and beyond, laying out a marvelous spread for guests in your home. But have you ever put so much time and effort into entertaining guests that you found you had no time or energy left for the guests themselves? That's what seems to have made this excessive. In her much serving, she was distracted, pulled away from Jesus. And by doing more than was expected or was even asked, this led to contention. It reveals her priorities, that serving was important to Martha, and so she believed it should be the most important thing for everyone else in the house. Not only important to Mary, but important to Jesus. Because she says in the latter part of verse 40, "Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." And friends, when Martha says, "Don't you care?" That is a veiled accusation against the very heart of Jesus. Because if you ask someone the question, "Why don't you care?" you are strongly implying that they, in fact, do not care. And I'm not trying to come down hard on Martha in this case. Because I hope that every one of us can recognize ourselves in that position. To have said, whether aloud or only in your heart, "Lord Jesus, don't you see all the things that I'm doing? And nobody seems to care." Kids, you might feel small and unnoticed. That doesn't always go away as an adult. I mean, even the tallest among us, that's how you look up. Even the tallest among us are not very big. And yet our great and infinite God, he does care. And he still looks down upon us. And we'll get to his response in a moment. But we sometimes take the things that we believe to be the most important and expect them to also be the most important to Jesus. As though we want his will to bend to our will, to conform and to agree with what I want. And so while Mary is on the floor, sitting still and listening to Jesus' word, Martha, who has been drawn away from Jesus, is saying, "Jesus, you listen to me and tell my sister she should do the same thing I am doing." And that too likely resonates with each one of us. Because how often when you're in conflict with another person, does your prayer sound something like, Lord, would you please change that person so that they see things the way I see them? So that they act in the way that pleases me? And how radically different is that from instead praying, Lord, would you help me love you more so that I will love this person better? And so the personalities of Mary and Martha may have played a part in how God's work of grace was displayed or restricted in this account. But I hope that what we can see with what Martha got wrong, being distracted, serving to excess, and having misplaced priorities, that affects every one of us, regardless of whether you are generally a Mary or a Martha type. And so for that reason, Jesus' rebuke to Martha speaks to each one of us as well. Because having seen what Mary got right and what Martha got wrong, how then do we choose the one thing that is necessary? Well, when Martha insists that Jesus tell Mary to help, Jesus answers her. And friends, don't let it escape your notice that he calls her by name. Martha, Martha. She wasn't being very nice in the moment. She wasn't behaving well. Many of us in the same situation would have rolled our eyes. We would have exhaled dramatically. We would have maybe ignored her. But praise God that Jesus is the kind of Lord who knows us by name, who calls us by name. And he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. As I mentioned earlier from John 11, Jesus loves Martha. And as we read in Proverbs chapter 3, those whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And so he corrects her, saying that she's anxious and troubled about these many things, but there's only one thing needed. And so if we can put those many things in their proper place and lay hold of the one thing that is necessary, much of our worry and trouble will go away as it goes into its proper place. And so whereas Martha was distracted and excessive and had misplaced priorities, we would like to develop a sense of focus, of balance, of right priorities. We need to learn to focus upon hearing Jesus without distraction. Because for Martha, the problem was not serving, but that she was distracted with much serving. And this was all while Jesus was present in her home. The fact that the Lord was there should have been an occasion to set her work aside or to at least tone it down for the purpose of being with Jesus and hearing him while he was present. And again, to commend Martha, we later read in John chapter 12, after Jesus has raised her brother Lazarus from the dead, and the week before Passover, Jesus is in their home again. And we read in John 12, 2, that Martha was serving and Lazarus was at the table. It doesn't say she was distracted with much serving, but that she was serving. As though she has learned from the Lord in the time between these two passages how to use her gifts, her skills, and her desires in the appropriate way to the appropriate degree. But to get to that, we too need times and spaces in our lives to listen to Jesus without distraction. And beloved, this is one of those times. When we come to worship, we enter God's presence in a set apart or a holy way that is distinct from the rest of our life, the rest of our week, the rest of our days. And so we should do so to the best of our ability, to leave our distractions at the door. The things we did yesterday, the things that are coming up next week, what we're having for dinner. Now, none of those things are unimportant, but they're things that we can let lie for 1 hour so that we can be present with the Lord in worship. Here also is the Sabbath day, which God has given to provide us with balance in our lives. A day in which he says, get all your work done and the other six. And today you don't have to do it. Now I know for everyone the Sabbath doesn't seem restful. It doesn't seem delightful. And oftentimes it's because we don't approach it as a day that I don't have to work. We sometimes view it as a day that we do other types of work, or we work differently. But even if we are working differently, we're probably not resting. And beloved, what is it to rest in the Lord, if not to acknowledge that he has done all things necessary for your salvation? That he has given his Son. That his Son has given his life for your sins. That the Father and the Son have given you the Spirit. And there's nothing to add to that. There's nothing to do for that but to believe. To receive and to trust that our activity and our busyness is not going to improve God's work of salvation. And for that very reason, today, you can be. Today, you can be at rest. You can be at peace. But you won't be if you're allowing yourself to be distracted by everything going on in the world and in the rest of your life. But without distraction, in a time and space when your heart is quiet and still before the Lord, then you are better prepared to hear him. And so to choose that one thing that is necessary, to choose and sit to listen to Jesus, I want to offer two other choices that help make that one choice. And this isn't in my notes, but there's a lot more people in this congregation than in Clarinda. There's a lot more children in this congregation than Clarinda. Ergo, there's a lot more noise and movement in this congregation than there is in Clarinda. Please do not think that I'm not aware of children and what children require. And so I hope that the takeaway isn't be absolutely silent and still when you're in the worship service. Not at all. So as we're going to see, you can be physically still and not be still before the Lord. And also, I hope we are aware that our lives go through many different seasons. And where you're at today is not necessarily where you were last year or where you'll be next year. And what is normal and appropriate for you at this time, that may change. And so certainly, I'm not prescribing a one-size-fits-all plan for stillness before the Lord. But I am sharing, we all need to be still and quiet before him sometime. And to get to that point, to choose the one thing needed, to choose to sit and listen to Jesus, you can choose to humble yourself. If you just think about the different postures of the two sisters and what that communicates. For someone enters your home and you sit down at their feet to listen to them, you are communicating to that person they are important, they are worthwhile, that you would be better off if you listened to them. But if you take the route of Martha, ignoring your company while you busy yourself with whatever tasks you have to do, you're saying by your actions to that person, you are less important than the things that I have to do. You are less important to me than I am to me. You are less than me. And we should recognize that an awful lot of our busyness is rooted in pride. Not all of it, but much of it. We do a lot and we worry about a lot, sometimes because we want to impress others. We want people to look at us and see and notice that I'm the kind of person who does this activity, that I do it well, or that I care about this or that issue. And so often we can't stop and slow down because we won't stop and slow down because we're trusting too much in ourselves and in our ability to get done all the things that need to get done. But the Lord looks to those who are humble in heart. And those who are humble in heart will recognize, I can't do everything. And that's good news. The world is not going to fall apart if I don't do everything. So if I stop pretending that I can stop and I can rest. And those who are humble in heart will listen contentedly to the Lord. But you can also choose to limit your distractions. Because many of us are anxious and troubled about many things. But a lot of those things are things that we heap upon ourselves and we don't need to. We are consuming media and information and entertainment by the bucketful, and we are depleting our ability to sit and to focus. And many of those things are not necessary. They're not inherently bad, they're just not the one thing that we need. And those extra distractions often choke out the time and energy we might have had for the one thing that we do need. Now, friends, I'm not anti-technology. I'm not against living in the 21st century. Because technology isn't good or bad. It's really how you use it, or how you choose to allow technology to use you. And that itself, there's pros and cons. I'm sure many of you right now are reading your Bible on a Bible app. Some of you are singing from the Psalter app. And I would say, praise God, we have those. I left my phone down there, so I can't hold it up, but you know what a phone looks like. We can use both of these things. Okay, I got a phone here. We can use both these things to read the Word of God. And one's not inherently or morally superior, but let me just remind you that when I read from this, I never get notifications. This doesn't ding at me. I have passing thoughts while I'm reading the Scriptures, but I have to decide to either hold that away or just let it go. I can't say, oh, I wonder who did direct that movie after all? Because a question like that, the Bible's not going to answer. And so there, I would say, there is a value to limiting the distractions that we carry with us. But if you're someone like me, that is someone who wastes a lot of time doing other things, but still somehow feels superior to those who waste time on their phone, let's stop behaving like Pharisees and remember that first choice. Choose to humble yourself. Recognizing that distraction is not a byproduct of modern technology, but a condition of the heart. Because way back in first century Judea, long before smartphones and streaming media and radios and electricity and steam engines and the printing press, Martha was still able to be distracted from Jesus. But the cure was to stop and to listen to Jesus, the same that we need today. And so, friends, be thankful that God's word is so readily available, that his presence is so readily accessible, that you have the freedom and the opportunity to sit quietly before Jesus and to hear him. Because in this life and in this world, Christ is the one thing needed. He is the good portion which shall not be taken away from you who put your hope and your trust in him. So listen to Jesus. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who is near. We praise you that from the foundations of the world, you have been close and you have been active in shaping and governing and guiding all things. And we thank you for coming into this world. Lord Jesus, for taking upon yourself a human nature. We thank you that you not only came into this world, but you came into Martha's home. And just like us, she was undeserving to have you there. But just like us, you came near. You came full of truth and grace. And so, Lord, we ask that you would continue calling us to yourself. Continue speaking and grant us, your servants, ears to hear. Take our hearts and put them at ease, that we would not be distracted by the worries and the cares of this life, of this present age. And Lord, you know there are many. You know what is weighing on the hearts and the minds of each person in this room tonight. And we know that some of them are more serious than others. But Lord, if you would help us to recognize what are the things we're busying ourselves with that we don't need to. And would you help us to recognize just how great and how deep is your love for your children? If we have forgotten this, may we hear it from your word every day and cherish this truth in our hearts, that we would be at peace in this world, taking heart because you, Lord, have overcome this world with all its trials and all its tribulations. Lord, we lay these concerns before you. And we praise you for being so kind and loving to us, asking all this in Jesus' name. Amen.